This is the Horse Radio Network.
Hello, Horse World. This is your producer, Jemmy, with episode number 2364, a best of. The gang is out today, so we're rolling things back to February 17th, 2016, when Horse Nation's Leslie recounted her awesome English adventure. Horse gal and entrepreneur Mystic Pope told us about the Hoof Moon Boot. Victoria Spicer brought us the latest from Horse and Country TV, and Rita from BLM Nevada answered Jamie's questions about the Nevada Correctional Center Prisoner Trained Mustang Program. Listen in.
Visit statelinetack.com/HRN. Don't miss your chance to shop blowout prices on blankets, apparel, saddles, tack, and everything you need or want. From top brands like Defender, Gatsby, Wintech, Kensington, Ariat, Weatherbeater, Iridian, IRH helmets, Carrots, and so much more. Plus, you can find special hourly flash sales with over 50% off. Stateline Tack, they make riding affordable.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 17th, episode 1362, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, you don't have to guess what day it is, for crying out loud. It is definitely Wednesday. They told us 400 times. No, awesome. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us. It's hump day, and we appreciate you being here. Glenn, we're in that magical moment in the world of Phoenix, Arizona, where there are currently no fly masks and no blankets.
Is it it's two or three days you have before they come back again? Or
it's like the magical 3 days of no blankets and no fly masks. And so yesterday I was cleaning the stalls and I saw the first hatch.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, no, it's been amazing. It's seriously been like 2 whole weeks with no blankets and no fly masks. It's so much easier to take care of horses when you don't spoil them ridiculously rotten. But I think my time is coming to an end.
Were you out there with the fly spray, just chasing them down one at a time?
I'm spraying the piles of poop going, you will die, die, die. We need to get fly predators to advertise with us so they can send us free ones.
I know.
I've used them before and they really do work.
Do they work? I wondered about that.
Yeah, they do, but they start to get pretty pricey when you have...
No, you need a lot of them, right?
The more horses you have, the more expensive it is. And I tend to have a horse problem. So it was getting a little pricey.
Why don't you get another one this weekend while you're at it?
Yeah, doesn't that sound like a great idea?
Yeah, that's a terrific idea.
Yeah. My mother-in-law called me, bless her. She's like, okay, why haven't you told us? And we had to learn from my sister-in-law, who is not a horse person at all, that you're having a baby and you're getting another horse. And I said, listen, mother-in-law, I bore thousands of people 3 days a week with all my horse crap. I don't have to bore you too.
Yeah, and she can listen anytime. And I do tell my family that if you want to know what's going on in their lives, 5 days a week, in my case, like 25 times a week, they can listen to a show.
Yeah.
There's no excuse.
There's no excuse. And my mom, I'll know when she's listening because she won't call me.
Because you pissed her off?
No, because she's listening and she's like, I don't need to talk to her today. Same thing when I was in radio. My friends would just, I'm like, where is everybody? Well, they feel like they heard you already. They don't need to call you. So I can always tell when my mom's been listening because she never calls. And I'll call her. I'm like, where have you been? She's like, oh my God, how's the Mustang thing? And I'm like, How did you know about that? Oh, she was been listening. So it happens like that. It happens.
Most of the world knows about it now.
I know. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show? We got a busy one. We got to get right to it.
Coming up on today's Back on Track Products Wednesday edition, the Wacky World of Horse Nation. That's Leslie has landed stateside, and she's going to stop by and recount her awesome English adventure. And then next up, Horse Scout and entrepreneur, Mystic Pope. That's right. Her name is Mystic Pope. She's going to tell us about moon boots for your horse. And then it's back across the pond with Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer has all the horsey headlines. And galloping to the end of the show amidst a cloud of dust, Rita from the BLM Nevada answers Jamie's questions about the Nevada Correctional Center Prisoner Trained Mustang program. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I wanted a little behind the scenes. Yeah, you know?
And also, is she going to, like, she's going to make sure that, you know, you're the winning bidder on one? Can you bribe her?
You know what I really want to know is, can I periscope this so everybody can see it?
Yeah, no.
I'm in jail, but like nobody has to know. I can like just prop
I don't
that
think
thing
they really
like,
want you periscoping from jail.
Hi, here you go, guys. I'm live.
I have two daily winnies today. One is for for Dr. Kyle, Wendy's boyfriend. It's his birthday today, and I want to wish him a happy birthday. And I know Wendy listens every day, so Wendy, you can tell him that he got some love. I also want to give a shout-out to CJ, the German short-haired pointer. CJ won the 140th Westminster Kennel Club on Tuesday night, beating a couple of top favorites. The three-year-old bested 2,751 entries in a 199 breeds. First of all, wow. Who the hell knew there was 199 breeds of dogs?
How come they couldn't get one more?
Yeah,
just to make
200.
It a cool 200.
So, by the way, CJ comes from a line of championship stock. His grandmother, Carly, was one of two previous German short-haired pointers to win Westminster, taking the title in 2005.
So just congratulations, whatever. I love watching it because I love hearing what every breed is actually supposed to do.
Do, and never does. Right?
And never. My next door neighbors, they're the ones that we don't quite get along with, and they're really frustrating. And I'll tell you why, because they breed those Eskimo dogs
in Phoenix.
In Phoenix, they have like five.
Do they all
of
just
those
die
white,
in the middle of
Eskimo
summer?
Dogs.
You find them dead around the paddock.
I was watching it, and they literally said. And the American Eskimo dog is bred to herd reindeer. Like, it's bred to herd reindeer and you're breeding it in Phoenix. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So, yeah, they're not quite close to herding reindeer up in the North Pole. Santa, you know, sorry, got some of your angels down here. So, there you go.
All right, your turn.
I have to give my shout out. I know we had her on the show on Monday, but God, I love her. How cool is it that Elisa Wallace is like so excited to help me get another Mustang and to help me pick out. And I'll tell you why, because they released the rest of the videos yesterday. So there was about five or six horses that they hadn't released the videos for. They hadn't uploaded. And so they finally released all the rest of the videos. And Elisa literally messages me within 30 seconds of it. Oh, my God. Okay. I've watched them all. Like, she is so excited about all of this. And she has a new second place. Do you want to?
Yeah.
So she still likes O'Malley the best. But and I've got to tell you, I'm leaning a little more towards him, too. Squirrel. He's adorable. He's so stinky cute. He didn't look like much in the picture, but his video is really nice. So she kind of is thinking that he might be my good second choice. So I'm sure to thinking, and what I told Chad is that if they both come under budget, I'm getting both. And he was like, no. I said, why not? You said I could spend X amount of money and I've been saving it up. And what if I bring two home for X amount of money? Doesn't that make sense?
No, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to him at all because I know it doesn't
work that way.
It doesn't
all.
Make sense no. to me at all. So I don't get
like if nobody goes and these Mustangs, I'm doing a favor.
Hey,
for
Jamie,
them. You need homes.
Jamie, I'll help you here. No. All right. On that note, let's get Leslie on because we've been waiting for this. Of course, Leslie Wiley is from Horse Nation, and she usually joins us on Mondays. I'm calling her live here on Skype. She usually joins us on Mondays, but she's been gone the last couple of weeks because apparently, you know, nothing less than like nobility is good enough for her anymore. So she doesn't hang with us lowlifes.
She hangs out with...
Ladies. Did you think she got a title while she was over here? Well, let's find out. Leslie Wiley back from her trip to England. Hey, Leslie.
Hey, guys.
So good to have you back. Now, I got to say, Misty, who's one of our listeners, said, I can't wait to hear from Leslie. So exciting. So exciting. I'm pea green with envy. So, Leslie, give us real quick the Reader's Digest of how this came to be. A real short version, because I really want to hear what happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, I mean, basically, I'd seen this photo online of this woman fox hunter. She's like, you know, covered in mud. She's like trotting toward the camera, like with a cigarette, and her eyes are just like smoldering. And I was just like, who is this woman? And find out her name is the Lady Martha Sitwell. And she's actually done some pretty amazing things in her life. Like she's ridden side saddle across Mongolia. And
Who hasn't done that?
And, right. And is, you know, quite the intrepid fox hunter and, you know, she's nobility. So my husband and I were going over to the UK on holiday for a week anyway. And I thought, you know, I might just reach out to this woman and she probably will not even, you know, Facebook friend me. But if I could set her down for an interview for the websites, that would be, how amazing would that be? And she did get back with me. And one thing led to another. And she ended up, she's just like, darling, why don't you stay an extra week and come fox hunting with me? And there's this ball, you know. And so I was like, okay. So I sent my husband home and stuck around England for an extra week to party and fox hunt with a lady.
Okay,
lady.
I read your story. Lady. Describe the night heading to meet her.
Yeah. This is my
only you, Leslie.
Grand entrance. I mean, basically there's a little mix up. And I got on the wrong. So I'm traveling from London out into the country where I'm going to be hunting with the Ledbury, the legendary Ledbury hunt the next day. So I get on the wrong train. I get off at the wrong stop. I'm a talented individual. And
it's all in English, right? I mean, it's not like it's another language.
It's not like in German.
Right. I know. Right. Like I have no excuse. And so I get off at the station and it's just like in the middle of nowhere. It's totally dark. Like the couple other people that jumped off the train, there like scattered immediately. And you know, you're in Europe, your cell phone doesn't work. I'm hoping that I can, you know, like there would be a payphone there or something that I could, I was planning on taking a cab to the, so they're having a dinner party. I'm like the guest of honor at this dinner party. I'm already late. I'm in the middle of nowhere. I have no idea how I'm going to get there. And so there's this guy, the only person left on the platform, and it's night, it's dark, is the guy that's like, working, he's like salting the platform, like he works for the railway. And I'm like, is there a phone, blah blah blah, like here's what I'm, and so he's just like, why don't you know, I'm about to be finished here, why don't I just give you a lift? And which is like, you know, but I was just, you know, it was cold, I was late, I felt like, I was like, you know, I'm a little bit running low on options here anyway. So I was like, okay, all right, my husband's going to kill me. But, you know.
And then tell everybody what mode of transportation to add to this whole thing.
Yeah. So I'll like follow him out to the parking lot and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. He's driving a white van.
windowless van.
Yeah, with like a shovel in the back. No kidding, because like that's what he does. He like is the station salter, right? I'm like, oh no. So, you know,
did you have like a little knife in your bra or something?
Oh, of course not. Okay, you know me. No. So I just like, you know, I'm like, okay, here we go. Yeah. But I mean, as it turns out, my faith in humanity was restored. He got me to the dinner party, and
he didn't rape you or murder you. And so
your night was good.
Yeah, I know. It's great. I'm winning at life right now. So I roll up to this, you know, fancy British dinner party full of, and I climb out of the white van, and you know, the least I can, I'm like, the least I can do is like invite this person, the railway guy, in for a drink. I mean,
you invited the railway guy into this fancy house for a drink,
into someone else's house to drink someone else's beer, you know, or whatever. So I walk in, I've got this guy in like high-waisted, like reflective trousers, like trailing behind me. And this is how I make my, I'm like, hey, I'm Leslie.
What's your name again? No, this is David. He works at the railway. Yeah. How you doing?
He's not my husband. No, he's not my husband. He's the guy with the white van.
Amazing. Yeah. So
how were you greeted late at the party?
I mean, I don't think everyone was amused, but Martha, the lady Martha Sitwell, thought it was the best thing ever and told the story about 50 times over the course of the weekend. So I'm writing this series about my trip. And so that sort of brings us up to date. But I would love to give you a sneak preview of what.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear God, I can't wait.
For people who don't know Fox Hunting, the next morning after staying in this mansion in the middle of nowhere, England, you went on. This is one of the most legendary, crazy, wild fox hunts ever. So just give an overview to the people who have nothing, don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I mean, hedges taller than your horse, like great big ditches, you know, just horse going full out. It's called the Ledbury Hunt. And the only, you know, there's you know, people just falling off left and right, you know. So, you know, I'm like, okay, sounds good to me.
And this chick doesn't even know if you can ride and she invites you on this.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm on a hired horse. So the horse I've got is, I think, I don't really know what his name was, but I called him Bert. And he's just like this big, fresh from Ireland, like super chill, like true blue, cool guy. You know, not maybe the scopiest jumper, but very efficient. You know, I always say like over, under, through the jumps. And, you know, there's a good mix of over and through. But I was so I'm out there for 4 hours. We have to have the horses back to the lorry, by this, you know, like 3. And so it's 2:30. We decide, that, you know, it's probably about time. The rest of the hunt stayed out there until dark. But we knew we had to sort of start heading in, and I am on fire at this point. I have not gone around a single jump. I jumped everything like a champ. I stayed right up at the front. Like I'm unstoppable, and I'm just really proud of my, cause I mean, I saw more people hit the deck, you know, people just falling off left and right, you know.
Did alcohol have anything to do with some of them falling off?
Probably. It had a lot to do with me staying on. You know, every time you stop, you know, stop at a check, everyone takes out their hip flasks and passes them around. So that, you know, when you're riding a horse you've never ridden before over like 5-foot hedges, I would say that's probably a good time, you know, to
check your hip flask. Gotcha.
That was my strategy. But yeah, so I'm feeling good. So we're going to catch up to the field master. There's this jump in front of us. It looks solid. It doesn't look huge. I can't figure out why two people in front of me fall off at it. You know, which maybe would have been a good sign that maybe, you know, find another way. But you know me, I'm like, one more jump. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh no.
So I get up to it. It's a 4-foot solid rail, upright vertical, with a made out of like a with the top's like a telephone pole. Like it's sturdy. Out of 2 feet of mud, like knee deep mud.
Ugh.
And poor Bert, you know, like sensible horses, any sensible like horse, I think would have stopped in that situation. But, you know, and I whispered in his ear beforehand, I was like, Bert, you know, you got to pick your legs up over this, buddy. But, you know, at the point, like riding in, it just didn't look, you know, at that point, you're like, ah, it's 4 foot. That's not.
That's nothing.
That. Are you with Lady Martha at this point?
Martha's, her horse was being naughty. So she had taken it back a bit early. But I was with her gentleman caller.
Okay, before you tell us what happened, were you the only American?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was that American.
You were representing the whole country up to this jump.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm coming up to it, and I'm like, you know, I sit down and tack, put my leg on, pick his ears up, give him a good ride, the sort of the ride that I've been giving him to the solid fences, and, you know, whisper in his ear, come on, buddy, Bert, pick up your feet. And he didn't quite get his feet up all the way. So we had a little rotational fall. He just sort of somersaulted over it and rolled right off of me. No big deal. So I stand up. I'm like, what just happened? Stand up, and poor Bert's just standing there looking at me, bewildered, you know, like, what just happened after he gets up? And so I stand up and I shake my whip at him. I'm like, Bert, I told you to pick up your feet. And then I got really dizzy and had to sit back down. And Manuel's like, you're bleeding from your nose. And indeed, I have like blood all over my face.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I'm much elbow. I don't know. I may get x-rayed in another couple of days if it doesn't, if I still can't straighten it. But, you know, I get Bert's fine. I'm more or less fine. I get back on. We hack back. And I'm just like, have blood all over my face and I cannot stop grinning. Like, this was the best. I mean, that maybe 3 minutes of that fall, you know, it was like the best fun I've ever had on a horse. And of course, and then I went hunting again the next day. With a different horse.
Bert needed a day off.
Yeah,
different hunt.
Bert wasn't going to come back to you again.
Bert's like, this woman is a maniac.
Yeah, I'm not letting her ride me again.
But I later find out that this jump that we fell at I'm telling Martha about it, and she's like, oh, they call that the badminton jump. I broke my finger there a couple of years ago. And I'm like, any jump on a modern badminton course is safer than this jump. If I'd known that, maybe I would have not jumped it.
We've been called bloody Americans a lot by the British, and in your case, it was just true.
I got to tell you a couple things. Reading this was probably the most fun thing I've ever read. It's not even over, but starting with number one, first of all, I feel like you're out hunting with Audrey Hepburn. Just, I can't get that out of my head. Second of all, such great reading and such great quotes from her. And so that led me to the fact that Leslie Wiley, you've got to write a book about this woman.
Oh, I know. I really do. She is like, Martha is unlike anyone I've ever met in my life. She's like a cross between like an old Hollywood, like a glamorous, like old Hollywood
Audrey Hepburn,
you know, starlet. Yeah. And like she has that, like that's her sort of her style and her mannerisms and like, but, and she has like the spirit of like Dolly Parton. Like Dolly Parton is, no kidding, like one of her heroes.
Oh, really?
She wants to come to visit me in Tennessee and we're going to go to Dollywood together.
That is too funny.
Yeah. And, but then on top of that, she's like this kind of tomboy who I think could drink any man under the table, you know, and doesn't mind getting dirty and loves driving tractors. And, you know, she is just.
Now, did she come from nobility or did she marry into it?
She married a baroner.
But was she nobility before? Did she come from a noble family?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. She's the woman that every one of us wants to be.
Yeah.
And the fact that you got to hang out with her is just amazing. And I really think that you should write a book about her.
I really do too. That'd be great.
I would be more than happy to go with you and take photos, do whatever, hold the recorder, whatever. I would be, but oh my gosh, that would just be,
Did you go to the ball?
Is like page turning blog stuff.
Did you get to the ball or were you too bloody and broken?
Yeah. I went to the ball with a big, with the top half of my nose scraped off. We go to this, you know.
The hunt ball, though. It's a hunt ball, right? Everybody's been bloody that week, right? Yeah.
And they're all too drunk to even notice you, so.
Nobody cares. Yeah. It was amazing.
So where was the hunt ball? Like, what kind of house was the hunt ball in?
The ball was in, this was Grafton Hunt. So this was the third, basically all we did for 3 or 4 days was we just galloped around on horses, got off, partied, got in the car, went on to the next and on to the next party / fox hunt. But then the ball was sort of the grand finale. It was, with Grafton Hunt. I have no idea where it was, but it was a super fancy ball. And this is one of my favorite Martha moments. So we're in this super fancy ball. It starts with a sit down dinner. There's like tables of 10.
Lots of silverware, right?
Lots of silverware. Yeah. Lots of fancy people.
Be honest, were you watching everybody else to know which one to use when?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I could hardly eat because, you know, there's so much. You have to do it a certain way. And I was sort of picking at my food all weekend. But so we get to this ball, we sit down at our table, you know, everyone's drinking champagne. And the first thing Martha does is make everyone, much to the horror of everyone at the ball, make everyone at our table stand up on their chair, yell, "I am Spartacus," and down their entire drink.
This woman's a trip.
Oh, God, please write a book about her.
Yes, please. You need to.
Yeah, and after I've got this, you guys need to get her on the show, too.
Yeah, well, definitely. She's we'll have her on fine. Anytime. You get that arranged. We'll clear the schedule.
Okay.
It's like Audrey Hepburn meets The Great Gatsby. Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah. It was, yeah.
Unbelievable. Words. How freaking cool. What a neat thing. And first of all, for you to just be the kind of girl that's like, let's giddy up. And I know you can ride because I've seen, I know what levels you've evented. So good for you to get out there and do it and keep doing it, even though you had to retire your guy.
You know what? Screw that. Downton Abbey's ending this year. Masterpiece Theater needs to add her in, and you need to be one of the actors in the show.
Yeah, she could have totally pull off a reality show. For sure.
Martha and Leslie, the American and the Brit.
she's my spirit animal for sure.
You do need to write. Jamie's right on that. You call her today and you say, I want to write the book. You're an unbelievable writer. You need to write that book. This could make you a huge star in the literary world. Then she won't come on our show ever again.
I mean, you can even just write it from your perspective, much like, you know, have you seen The Great Gatsby or read The Great Gatsby? You know, it's more like him talking about his experiences with Jay Gatsby. Mm-hmm. So it's like that could be, this is like the real life Gatsby.
Wait a minute. We don't know.
Fox hunting.
We don't know what Lady Martha said about Leslie when Leslie left.
I mean, we know that she had fun because she kept keeping her along and she let the windowless van guy into the house. So. Good Lord, girl. That was the craziest part of the whole thing. Hey, I'll give you a ride, total stranger in the dark and cold, and hop in my windowless van with a shovel in the back. What? Dear God, Kevin, you should be divorced by now. I wouldn't even. So I would had not tell anybody about that. I'd been like, you know what? Just sweep this one under the rug. Oh,
Jennifer came up with a great name for the show too, Lady in the Yank. It's perfect, Lady in the Yank.
Oh my goodness, that's the title.
That's the title right there.
And that dude, the cover photo has to be of her with the cigarette-covered hood galloping the horse. I mean, you're not.
And you know what? You standing beside her with your bloody face—that's perfect.
Yeah. Did you take a picture of your? Did you do a selfie with the blood coming out of your nose? Please tell me you did. Of course you did. Okay,
are we going to see that in an article soon?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
good,
yeah.
Good.
Okay.
Oh just man.
Got lead buried.
I got badminton jumped to lead buried. That's so funny. Oh, Leslie, I love that you had this experience. I love that you gave it the green light. I love that your husband was like all on board. Like, yeah, sure, go spend a week with a total stranger. Leave me to go fly across the country by myself home. Whatever. He's awesome. What a keeper you did.
He is. He is truly.
Oh, geez. Well, Leslie, that's a trip. Welcome home, I think.
I posted the link to the first one on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page, but just go to horsenation.com, you guys, and read. It is some of the most fun reading I've done in a while, and I can't wait for part three. I just can't wait.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie, we'll talk to you on Monday, and we'll continue to follow along with your articles and talk to you about them on Mondays, okay, as they come out.
Sounds great.
But seriously, contact her today and get the rights to the book.
Okay. God, that'd be the greatest thing ever. Greatest thing ever.
All right, Leslie, see ya.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Oh my God. What a trip.
It's like this job. You never know what's going to happen, like where it's going to take you. Imagine her
And you know what? This just goes to show, too. You know, I deal a lot with podcasters now, and they're all like, blah, blah, they overthink everything. Leslie just asked, and the lady said, yeah, come spend a week with me. All she did was ask on Facebook. She sent her a Facebook message for an interview, and she got to spend a week with her. Just ask. That's all it takes sometimes. Anyway, let's hear about Back on Track. What a trip. And then we're coming back. We're going to learn about a new product out there that is called the Horse Ease Moon Boot. I have no idea. We'll find out when we get back. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury, as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries, is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. And of course, you can follow them on Facebook as well. Just search for Back on Track products. Well, coming up next, Jennifer found a product that she thought was interesting, and the story behind it's very interesting. It's kind of a Shark Tank kind of story. And so we have Mystic Pope on with us now, and she is the inventor of the Horse Ease Moon Boot. Hi, Mystic.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Okay. Now, I can't do an interview. If you listen to the show at all, you know I can't do an interview without asking about your name. Because it is the guy. Oh. You should be a pop star. You should be a singer. Mystic Pope, that's a great pop star name.
I've been told that before. I actually used to sing at a bar a long time ago. And everybody always asked me, hippie parents, you have hippie parents. So no, don't have hippie parents. My mom is just a very creative individual and came up with my name. It's funny, my middle name is Lee, so it comes up mystically.
Mystically?
And, just a little, yeah.
Awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's hours that can be had at Playing in My Name.
Was high school tough? Did they have a lot of nicknames for you?
I was Mystical Potpourri because my last name is Pope, so I became known as Mystical Potpourri, and that name is stuck to this day. And then I was married at one point, and my last name was Chubb, so I was Mystically Chubb.
Oh.
Nobody could really say that name without laughing.
Okay. Let me ask you a serious question before we go on. At some point when you were dating this guy, did you say to yourself, I can't marry him because his last name is Chubb? That had to cross your mind.
No, I used to say it was grounds for divorce in and of itself, but no, he was a decent guy, so it didn't cross my mind at that point. But afterwards, when I realized what my name was, yeah, you couldn't help but laugh.
And you divorced him.
And went back to Pope, I noticed.
Yes.
Oh, man, there's a story right there. Well, Mystic, tell... And I had to laugh, too, when I saw this, because Jennifer told us about this right before the show today. And I had to laugh because the product is Horse Ease Moon Boot, developed by a girl named Mystic Pope. This whole story couldn't get any better. You have to go on Shark Tank because they will have a blast with you.
I am obsessed with Shark Tank, and that was how I got the idea for this product, because I became obsessed with the show, and I thought, these guys are ordinary people that just came up with the idea, and the only thing different about them is that they went for it. And so I was already on the prowl for a product to develop, and then that was when I had a mare that was constantly abscessing, and I said, there's got to be an alternative other than making this godforsaken duct tape wrap by hand. Or the other alternative was like a $100 leather boot. I said, there's got to be something else. So that's when I started designing my product.
Now, and you took it the whole way, right? This is patented and everything?
It is. It's patent pending in the U.S. And it is currently patented in Australia with a design patent and the European in Europe as a design patent as well.
All right. So tell us about what it is and what it does and how it works.
Okay. So... my apologies for calling it a moon boot. It never occurred to me to call it anything else, because when you have to make that duct tape wrap by hand, we always joked around that it was like a little space boot. So it just looked like a moon boot to us. And I never occurred to call it anything else. So what it is just, it's a substitute. It's a pre-constructed adhesive disposable duct tape wrap. And it's a sheet of, it's industrial grade cloth tape with a pressure sensitive adhesive. So it's got the unique design. All you have to do is wrap it up. You just peel off the release liner and slap it on the bottom of your horse's hoof, wrap up the panels around it, and go. What used to take 10 minutes now takes 10 seconds.
So it's all in one. You put it over the horse's foot, and then it kind of has almost what look like straps across the top that hold it on to the horse's foot. Does it stay on really well?
It does. It stays on. It's designed to stay on up to the 24 hours. That, usually when you have an abscess or other hoof injury, you're probably changing the wrap every day.
Right.
If not more than that.
Right.
So it's
we have one right now that's having that problem, and we've been packing it and doing all of that. So...
I would be glad to send you some wraps so you can try them.
Yeah.
Because it's not like straps that wrap up around the toe. It's a complete sheet, and you don't have to. I know there's a nylon wrap with Velcro, and you have to be very specific about where you put it on.
This one
is very forgiving. You've got a big patch in the center. You slap it on the bottom of the hoof, and then wrap the panels up from like the bottom of the foot up to the coronet band. And it's designed to be the exterior layer of your system. So you have the still the vet wrap. You pack the cotton underneath. Use a diaper, the vet wrap, whatever it is that you want. And this is the place of the duct tape. So it's water resistant. And now the one thing that I love about it, it's got the pressure sensitive adhesive. So you can place the panels where you need to. And then if you decide I need to tweak it a little bit so it covers more, you can remove the panel a little bit and replace it, and it's only going to stick when you really squash it down. You can't do that with Gorilla Tape or duct tape. So it's a big sheet. It doesn't fall in on itself like duct tape. I know I've tried to make one during a windy day, and the wind is just flying all around. The duct tape ends up sticking to itself, or you drop it, and then you've got to start all over again. all of those problems are solved with it.
And anybody that's had a horse with abscesses, and we've had a lot of them over the years, we had a draft horse. We had a 2,000-pound draft horse that had chronic abscesses for a long time till we beat that battle. And it was every day like that for a year. And it just, it's just, you're right. The duct tape is a pain. If there's dirt on it, it doesn't work. It's just a pain. Yep. It's just a pain all around. Anybody's had to do this knows what a pain it is. So the fact that you took the time to come up with this and then get it developed and now it's on the market, is it getting out there to stores?
I don't have a distributor yet. I've had a lot of people ask, but I haven't worked out that part of my system yet because there's not, unfortunately, this was my very first, like a trial test run. To see how it responds to the market. So there's not much wiggle room in my pricing to use a distributor yet. So I have my website and people can get it directly from me. I do sell at a discount to vets and farriers, any equine professional who will use these on a regular basis. And if they want, they could sell it to, we're all used to when a vet comes out and they treat anything, you expect to pay for every single supply that they use. And then if they want to sell it to their customers, they can. So that's how I'm getting it out there. But, yeah, it is available on the market now.
Okay, cool. So where would they get it? Where can they find you to get it?
My website is it's horseease.com, www.horseease.com. And then I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/horseease. So you can get it at either locations. It would take you to the proper location to order these.
And do they order them in packs?
I have to the average customer, I have a 5-pack and a 10-pack that you could purchase, which is a typical abscess period, roughly. And then the professionals can buy in bulk, packs of 25 or 50, and those are broken down like a 25-pack is 5 5-packs. So if you've got a vet practice, they could stock each of their trucks with one or whatnot.
That's a great idea. I mean, I was a vet tech for a long time, and I would have to make those duct tape boots, and this is such a great product, just at least for veterinarians at the minimum to have on their truck, because saves them a ton of time and having to explain how to do it and what to do and do this. And then it keeps the normal, horse owner is not going to know if they're wrapping duct tape around their horse's coronary band and too tight and all this. And so this is actually probably a great tool for, it's like you invented it for vets or something. It's a great tool for veterinarians to hand off to their clients. Very good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I have a couple of vets that I work with who do that exact same. They let their customers know about it. They, show them the different options of making it themselves or using this pre-constructed wrap. So it is an excellent tool. I had one vet back when I was still designing this. She said, I was the last stop because I had that mare with a chronic abscess. She was a 3-legged horse for 3 weeks, twice a year. And the vet came out and she said, every single stop before me, she had to wrap a hoof. And, that's 10 minutes each time. By the time you add all that time up, she could have fit another client in at the end of the day. And that's another couple hundred dollars, So it really is a huge time saver. It's for that individual who, I worked in outside the equine industry, and I didn't have that time to wrap this by hand twice a day. So that's where I was coming from. It was a huge saver for me.
Well, I got to say that I got to ask you, too. I love the business side of things. What's been the toughest part for you in developing your first product and bringing it to market? What's been the biggest challenge?
That's kind of a tough one. For me, it's actually breaking out into the sales part of it. I was very fortunate. This is almost the best kind of product you could design when you've never designed a product or brought anything to market before. And I had a lot of wonderful people surrounding me who were great at either sales. They could lend me their expertise or marketing. My manufacturer was amazing to kind of help me through this. So for me, it's kind of breaking out into sales and marketing and getting the product known. That's been the biggest challenge. So that's why I was very excited to come on here today with you all. So thank you for having me. I'm hoping that this will be a great step in the right direction.
Well, we love entrepreneurs, so thank you so much for joining us. Good luck with this. I can't wait to try one and see how they work. You know, you always have to have them handy, too. Don't buy them after you need them, because they got to get shipped, and you're going to need them sooner than that. So have them handy and sitting around for when you do need them. That's the key to this type of product. Thank you, Mystic. It's been great.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. We'll post a link to it also on our Facebook page and in our show notes so people can find you, can find the product there as well. All right. Take care.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Well, there you go. There's a new product to the market that Jennifer's good at finding these little new products that that everybody really needs.
Well, I was saying, it's not even about the time for me. I mean, 10 minutes, I can do them pretty quick, whatever. But the fact that you can more safely wrap because it fits like to the bottom of the horse's hoof and fits up to the coronary band. And the hardest part about trying to get people to learn how to wrap their own horse's feet is to make sure they don't wrap too tight, wrap the coronary band, get up behind over the bulbs of the heel, and this kind of fits it. So that just makes it a little bit easier, I think, in the long run. Good job, Jennifer. That was interesting. And Glenn, you didn't harass her too much. She wasn't too offended.
Oh, she was a lot of fun. She was a lot of fun. Look, a woman named Mystic Pope is going to have had everything said to her about her name through life.
Exactly, which is why sometimes you just need
I didn't pick on her. I just asked. She's the one who brought up her marriage. You know, that's
funny. That's true.
We've had quite a morning here so far. Well, let's continue that. Why don't you talk about the Clarion, and I will get Victoria on.
Oh, I'm so excited. We've got our Rolex trips booked, people. Come on. The Horse Radio Network host accommodations are provided by Clarion Hotel Lexington in Lexington, Kentucky. We always stay there for when we're at Rolex or when Glenn doesn't invite me to Road to the Horse. So you can book your accommodations now for Road to the Horse at Rolex and the Clarion Hotel Lexington. Your rate includes free full breakfast buffet every morning, free Wi-Fi, airport shuttles. Clarion Hotel Lexington has a full service restaurant, Cortland Southern Kitchen. If you're into bourbon, check out the bourbon sampler and the sports pages for Bar and Grill. I guess Victoria's here. Hold on, Victoria.
Are you okay, Victoria?
I'm okay.
Okay, good. All right. We'll be right with you. I thought you fell off your chair.
That the Bourbon Bar and Grill, Angela's Pizza at the Clarion Hotel Lexington offers pizza too. Clarion Hotel Lexington on Newtown Pike has a huge indoor swimming pool with a whirlpool and sauna. It's 10 minutes from the horse park. You don't have to go on the freeway. It's all back roads and it's beautiful, of course. So any regular visitors to Lexington will appreciate this. You don't even have to get on New Circle Road because that's the worst road. That and Manowar Boulevard are the worst. So you can go back roads to the horse park. You can check them out at clarionhotellex.com. clarionhotellex.com. And Glenn, did you find out? I think our Rolex experiences are sold out, but you can still get rooms.
There are still a few rooms available, but get them now. And that's for that is for both Road to the Horse and for Rolex. So if you're planning on going, I know we have a lot of listeners going to Road to the Horse this year. So if you're planning on going, get your rooms now.
Perfect.
Well, she's been gone for a while, but...
Gosh, I missed her. We've been talking about England all morning long. One of our dear friends, Victoria, our Leslie Wiley from Horse Nation, got to go to England and hang out with Lady Martha Sitwell. Do you know who she is?
She's a famous side saddle rider, I think. Is that right?
Yes, she's kind of like the Audrey Hepburn of the hunt world.
Yes.
So you'll have to go on horsenation.com and read some of the blogs that she's written. She's got like a 3 or 4 or 5 part series of spending a week with this woman, and it's just absolutely amazing. So that is one thing that I wanted to talk to you about. Two things I wanted to talk to you about is you've been gone for a while, and we have come to a decision on the Horse Radio Network, and it involves you.
Okay.
So many moons ago, when our sound quality was terrible and we started this show, I found out that Glenn and Jennifer had never read the book Black Beauty. So I proceeded to read like a chapter every day. It was like, whether they liked it or not, they had to sit down and listen. I'm sure Glenn took his headphones off, but he got some of it anyway. So I read the book Black Beauty. Well, we've had so many listeners requesting us to read it again since our sound quality is better and they want it back. And Glenn was like, hell to the no, you're not reading that thing again. So we've come to an agreement that the only way it can be read is if it's read in your accent.
Okay. Okay. Now let me ask, tell Victoria. Now, Jamie doesn't remember that we've had this conversation before. And we went back and found that conversation. Tell her exactly how you feel about that book.
I like the book.
You said it. You didn't like the book.
I did. I read it loads when I was a child. I love it. So.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. That's not what I remember. I remember you hating that book.
No, you're talking about somebody else. You're talking about, we have never had this conversation with Victoria. She and I were soul sisters.
Victoria, yep. You hate that book. Say it out loud. I definitely don't.
I love it. I read it so many times when I was a little girl.
All right. Well, you're still not allowed to do it on the show. So there.
So Glenn,
I'm going to let Victoria sit with this for a week.
If Victoria can
read it, and I'll put it at the end after the music of the show. And that way we don't have to torture the people who, by the way, there were as many people who hated it as liked it. So there.
No, that is a bold-faced lie.
That's the ones I read. Those are the ones.
One out of every 50 hated it, and they can suck it because not everything is all about them all the time. Okay. So anyway, Victoria, I'll let you sit with that. You can think about maybe reading it.
I'll talk to you later, Victoria. I'll send you a check not to read it. Okay.
So anyway, moving on, this study has been taking over the world. And to us as horse people, it is the most obvious thing I have ever heard of in my entire life. Tell everybody about this study that has been scientifically all of a sudden discovered.
Yes, well, it's great to spend thousands of pounds on university research on something that we already knew. But the latest version of this is a study by the University of Sussex here in England, who looked at a group of horses, and when the horses were shown a picture of an angry human face, their heart rate increased. And what I did find interesting and what I didn't know is that they turned their heads to look at the image with their left eye. So apparently that's what they do when they're faced with threatening or negative stimuli. So there you go. I did learn something new in the study. But yeah, the horses can pick up on our moods. Who knew? And so, yes, if you're in an angry mood, you should just leave your horse alone, I think, and go and take your mood elsewhere.
Wow. So it's like, you mean if we're in a bad mood and we get on our horse and we're behaving badly, that our horse is going to behave badly? That sounds crazy. I would never have heard of that. That's true. But it's interesting to think about how when they see things that are faced with tension, they do look at it with their left eye. And I wonder if it goes to the right side of their brain and they're trying to work out. I don't know. That's interesting. I definitely hadn't heard that either. But each horse was shown photos. And I didn't know they could see photos, but
yeah, each horse I find hard to believe, but yeah, apparently so.
Yeah, each horse was shown photos of happy and angry men they had never seen before, and their behavioral and physiological responses were measured.
Okay, so I have a question. You're spending money on a study like this. This is the problem I had with it. You're spending money on a study like this. Why don't you show them actually humans that are angry and, you know, happy?
Actors. We need actors.
Yeah, not pictures. That part I didn't get at all. Because if you take that, it doesn't necessarily extrapolate out to an actual human that has smells and, you know. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's, I guess it's the variables that if you had a person, could it be like their body language was giving off other vibes, or I don't know, is it easier to have the exact same person?
There's a lot of actors out of work. I mean, that could have done this very easily. Yes.
But as Jamie says, I'm just not sure that horses can see photos, but you never know, because the whole thing of having a mirror in the stables, and I once put my horse into a stable with a mirror in it and he jumped out of his skin. He thought there was another horse staring at him. And then the other day I decided to try and take a selfie with my horse, and I put my camera on to camera mode facing her, and she looked at it and kind of ran away. So apparently she was frightened off a small 6-centimeter version of herself.
So. No, I think it was, she was frightened of the selfie of you.
That's what I was going to say, that, and I elected not to.
That's because you're a boy and you shouldn't say things like that. I'm a girl and I can say things like that. Because there's just sometimes there's just no good angle. I mean, you just work. And that's why they invented selfie sticks. Get that camera a little further away.
I think I need that longest selfie stick in the world. I don't know if you guys saw this, but at the premiere of Zoolander 2, Ben Stiller had the longest selfie stick in the world. So I think that's what I need.
Were you at the premiere, by the way?
Sadly not. No film premieres and no hanging out with royalty or Audrey Hepburns or Of the Hunting World. It's been very dull here this week. So.
Nice. Now, tell us about this actual new invention that claims to fight. It's a horseshoe nail.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds a very simple idea. And we all know, you know, some metals are said to have certain properties or healing properties or whatever. But this one is a copper horseshoe nail. And they're saying it's really improving the condition and the quality of the feet, and it stops infection getting in. And that bacteria can, in other nails, get through the nail holes into the horse's hoof. So it's quite interesting. I mean, we've done it very much as a, is this really that simple, and is it going to change things? And I guess it's too new a product for us to kind of be able to say with any authority. But there's been a couple of farriers who have said that they've noticed an improvement in the quality of their horse's feet. So maybe there is something in it.
Very, very cool. Yeah. So the picture that they show is a very hairy horse. Very hairy leg. And it's a picture of a horse. It's got a front clip on the shoe. Obviously, you can tell it's an older shoe, you know, shoe job. Like it has the shoe's a little bit worn, the nail holes are all broken up, and the next one is a recently shod foot. So I don't know if that's a difference in the shoeing, or does it actually work? I know you just said, but have you had anybody else, just one person, say it works, or is this kind of taking over England?
It's very new. So we literally just heard about it last week when we published the story. So, but yeah, a couple of farriers, I think I've noticed good improvements. So it is hard to tell. I mean, it's also confusing because that horse you see pictured, we presume it's the same horse, but it's definitely not the same foot, because one of them is got a lighter sock, but this one has got, the other one's got a chestnut socks, so it's a bit confusing, but I presume it is the same horse because that is a lot of hair and quite similar looking feet, so it could be the opposite foot or something, I don't know, but we just thought it was quite an interesting story. And but yeah, it is hard to tell from a newly shod foot, which is naturally going to look better than a slightly old scabby foot, so time will tell.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking. Now tell us a little bit about the this is something that I'm getting really into here in Arizona, and I'm actually going to go to a clinic about it, and there's a horse show coming up in a couple weeks that I'm going to go watch, and it's a working equitation horse show. Tell everybody about this.
I have to say, it's very new to me, but what I love about it.
Yeah, good, because it's new to me, and I don't know what the heck I'm going to go look at. So I'm interested to see if you had any better idea.
Well, apparently there are four different sections of this event, which are dressage, ease of handling, speed, and cow trials. So is there any other event where you have dressage and cow trials in the same competition? So if you're thinking, well, I'm quite good at dressage, but I'm also quite good at rounding up cattle, then this is a sport for you. And we've got some really cool pictures and stuff, but there seems to be people holding big sticks. That's also a part of it. I'm not sure if that's to do with the cows or not, but you hold a big stick and then you ride very kind of attractive looking Spanish horses and do fancy things with them. So I'm thinking it sounds quite cool. Apparently there's obstacles like bridges and gates and jumps and poles. So
I can give you a little bit more. So you do a dressage test and then you go do a trail class, and you have to go canter around barrels and do, you know, gates and bridges and all this. And then you have to go back and you have to do it as fast as you can. The trail class as fast as you can. Then, And some in Phoenix, I've read that the Cal trial part of it is permitting space and permitting the people actually having all the cows for you. But then you go and you herd cattle, like you have a team and it's like cattle sorting, you know, you pen them or team penning or whatever. So it seems an incredible amount of fun. And most people are riding Andalusians. And I'm going to break it to you guys now. Thor is going to a clinic to learn how to do this. I'm so excited. It's April, so I have to wait quite a while. But Thor, the Mustang, is a fantastic dressage horse. And he'd probably be great at sorting cattle and doing trail, but dear God, the horse can't jump his way out of a paper bag. So oh. I'm trying to find something that would really work for him. And this is kind of coming up as a more popular sport. So I'll keep you posted because there's a horse show the 29th that I'm just going to go watch. My next door neighbors just moved in and they do this. So they've invited me. So I'm going to go check it out and we're going to learn more about working equitation and I will keep you posted. Now, this one is the World Cup of Working Equitation, apparently. And is it held in Brazil?
Yes, it is. And I have just reread the article and discovered they're Brazilian horse. He's not Spanish. Although Lusitano, I thought, was a Spanish breed or a Portuguese breed or something. So I'm not sure. It's all very complicated.
Lusitano is the Portuguese version of an Andalusian. And only because those countries hate each other. From what I've heard, they hate each other. So they're like, they kind of change the names, but they're kind of all
They
the
all
same.
Speak kind of the same language. So
yeah, I thought they did. But
inside leg, outside brain. Is that the language?
No, I was really thinking of a Spanish variation of, they're all kind of speaking the same language.
No, they're not. Not at all. And they hate you for that.
But I've also discovered, because we shared this article and shared our pictures, and I've had an email from a lady in Britain who says, we do this. So I've also been invited to go and watch it. So we're hoping to go and do a little bit of filming and check it out. So hopefully we might have a video to show you in the coming weeks of working equitation. I'm thinking maybe if I turn up with my riding hat, they might let me.
Yeah, and they won't all be on gray Lusitanos either, I don't think.
No.
Some of us can't afford the gray Lusitanos in Andalusian. So what do? You have a Spanishy looking Mustang.
Yeah, yeah, perfect.
With a big head. All right, cool.
Sorry, I had to let the dog in. Okay, Lucky was crying at the door. Come on, Lucky.
Well, you had an article or a video here too. Lucinda Green, my first badminton win. What's all that about?
She's so
cool. Love Lucinda. She is super cool. And she's talking about winning badminton at 19 years old. Can you imagine that? And it was her first ever badminton and she thought she'd made it. And then apparently she went for show jumping lessons and with this German trainer. And he said that her show jumping was ghastly and how on earth did she win badminton? So it's quite a funny story. You should check it out. It's in Lucinda's typical style.
I love her. I went to watch a clinic that she did here in Phoenix about a year ago, and she just came back recently, but I missed it. And she told me to everybody the funniest thing, and I use it all the time now. She's the one, Glenn, Lucinda Green is the one who, language, earmuffs if you don't want to hear a word. She was the one who was like, I had a trainer and it was really embarrassing, but this man told her, sit up, tits up, ladies, tits up. And now I use that all the time. I'm like, tits up, girls, tits up. Cindy Green told me. I love it. So she's just kind of salty and she's funny. So this is going to be really, really good, I'm sure.
Yeah, she's great. It's a great clip. And it's actually part of the International Eventing Forum where she came and she was the kind of headline act of the day and did a demonstration. So we've got some other videos up there on our site as well, including her talking about how fence design has changed from her days in eventing when it was all huge, big rider frighteners, but quite simple horse jumps for the horse to tackle. And now it's so much more technical and there's lots of skinnies. So there's another really interesting clip up there and we'll be posting more over the coming weeks. So yeah.
Wonderful.
Lucinda Green and Samantha Clark and I in a rainy night at the World Equestrian Games in a golf cart trying to find our car for about a half an hour. That's my memory of Lucinda Green. That was a trip. And we ought all, everybody might add a little alcohol. So it was an interesting evening.
That's great. Well, one more thing, your blog of the week, tell us about it, because I know a lot of people deal with this and this is something that everybody, I think, is going to want to read.
Well, this is written by our news writer, Charlotte. And Charlotte's got a gorgeous Welsh Section D mare. She's a really sweet little mare, really straightforward. But Charlotte's also a busy, you know, working mom. She's got two children and they're both quite young. And she was saying that she hasn't done much jumping over the winter, what with one thing and another. And suddenly it's coming around to eventing season again. And she's having what I call the fear, when you just think, why on earth am I doing this? And it's a really interesting blog. And she talks about, you know, even just writing her blog, is it like giving an audience to her own nerves? And should she just be ignoring them and cracking on? And do we all forget the great feeling we get after riding and just focus on all the dreads and the what ifs and stuff? So I think it really has struck a chord with so many riders. And actually, Charlotte wrote it and then she just said to me, I've noticed you've done a blog on something similar, which was about a week earlier. I'd written a blog about how if I go to a dressage competition, I'm fine. I remember what I'm doing. I'm kind of quite laid back. If I go jumping, my head is just completely blank and I don't remember anything about my ride until I'm finished. And then I'm like, thank goodness it's over. And so Charlotte and I think that both of us need counselling because she's terrified and I'm brain dead. So it's not an ideal combination.
Yeah, it's couples. You should get a couples therapy. You and your horse. Her and her horse. No, I read that blog and I actually talked about it on the show because it was so wonderful. Beginning of February, you posted one called "Why Do I Have Total Brain Freeze?" And it's very, very true. And it's a fantastic article. I'm going to post a link on our Horses in the Morning page right now because it's just fantastic. It's so well written. Very.
Oh, thank you.
It's great. And it's so true. I love the part, what I needed to do, leave plenty of time. Don't get stressed. You know, just, this is all for fun. What I actually did, cut things fine, ran around like a chicken with my head cut off, felt terrible, questioning why I wanted to jump these fences. It's really well written and it's really good. So I'll post it right now. Great job.
Thank you. I am the absolute expert when it comes to show jumping of what I should do. And yet when it comes to it, I don't do any of it. So it's not ideal. And I've got a couple of jumping things coming up this week. So I'm slightly dreading it, but we will see. Let's see if I can do the breathing and keep calm and be on time.
Sing a song. Sing a song. Sing a song.
That helps.
Yeah.
Even worse is one of them on Sunday is a riding club team competition. And then fit of enthusiasm I signed up to be in teams and now I'm like, what have I done? Because when it's just me, that's one thing, but when I'm letting down my team, oh no. Oh dear. And I don't know if you saw recently, but Rosie won her first dressage test. I was very excited. It's taken a long time to get my little off the track thoroughbred to pretend to be a dressage horse. We finally got there and I won, and that was when I was like, I'm going to join the riding club, I'm going to sign up for teams. And and now I've got to do a dressage test for a team in a couple of weeks' time as well. And it suddenly added that pressure off. She might have won one test, but she's still perfectly capable of going around there like a giraffe with her head in the air, not listening to anything I say. And so,
oh, well, we can't wait to hear. We can't wait to hear how it goes next week. So keep us posted. We wish you the best of luck. Thank you, Victoria Spicer, horseandcountry.tv. Keeping
Thank
us
you very much.
Date.
Thanks, Victoria.
All right. Good luck, girl.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Wow. We are just going to continue rolling right on today to our final guest. What a day and what a fun day. This episode definitely has to go in the best of.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad everybody's happy. We've got our next guest on the line, and this is going to make me happy because I'm very excited to be hitting the road tomorrow and be driving to Carson City to go get my, hopefully, second and next best friend, my Mustang from the Carson City Carson City Correctional Center. And we've got Rita from the BLM Public Affairs and Social Media on the line with us. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning.
Now, I wanted to hear you talk because I was going to guess if you were the one who was taking all the videos of the guys riding the horses.
Yes, I have been trying.
Well, I think I've harassed you as everybody else that is interested. As post all the videos. Why haven't you posted them?
Oh, my gosh. I love it. It's great. I just wish that I could get it done faster.
Oh, I mean, you're not busy. Jeez. So,
no, I know.
Everything is all about us adopting these Mustangs. You have no other work to do, I'm sure. Tell everybody a little bit about the prison program and what goes on.
Well, the Northern Nevada Correctional Center and actually the state of Nevada Department of Agriculture started the program in 2000. And it was basically because for stray horses, so horses that may have gotten away or people couldn't handle and turned out that were, you know, close to communities that were a nuisance. So they were bringing them in on a regular basis. And that was, you know, how they were training them with the inmates and then adopting them out. And then in 2006, the BLM got involved. And for some reason or another, it turned out that just the BLM Mustangs and the Department of Agriculture were working together. And so they've had quite a good run. They've probably adopted around 1,000 wild horses through the program. And this isn't just, not just wild or just to the public, I'm sorry. And some of them have actually gone to like military warfare training facility outside of Reno up in the mountains in Bridgeport, and they've adopted them to some really the color guard. I can't remember which military branch, but the color guard has an all Palomino Mustang color guard, so to carry the flags and do some pretty cool things. So they're just training them just for public horses, so you know, adoption. They're going to some pretty interesting places, and like you, Jamie, 3-day event horses. So they're pretty versatile, and the program has done some really great things. I think this year too, they're working with some of the game wardens in California, Nevada, and Idaho, so to use in the mountains to make sure everyone's on there doing the right thing as far as hunting goes. And then also the Forest Service is looking at getting some Mustangs this spring in Oregon to use as a pack horses to resupply their trail crews. So pretty cool stuff happening.
I mean, these Mustangs are just such amazing horses, and they really can do anything, and they will. If they can't do it, they'll kill themselves trying for you. And that's what's so great about them, mm-hmm. is they will just try anything, it seems. So the inmates or trainers, as they're called, how do they get selected to become the trainers?
They have to apply just like any other job. So they all have, you know, I don't think they have really that long of sentences at this facility. It's probably, you know, 5 years, so a lower sentencing prison. And they apply just like a job. They actually, it's called Silver State Industries within the prison system. And there's all these different programs, and horse, the saddle horses is just one of them. And so they get their application in, and then there's a few of the staff that go through all the applications and select the guys that they think can do the best job and have the best, you know, experience as far as just a job in general. And then they actually get paid, but it's like dollars per day. And mm-hmm. then, you know, they can get fired just as easily. So they have to be doing what they're told.
So who tells them? I think, and from watching, bless their hearts, the videos, a lot of these guys don't have serious horse experience or riding experience, and they're good on them. They're riding these Mustangs around like they're like nothing. So do the inmates get training for this? How does that work?
Thanks for bringing that up, because a lot of them haven't ever even touched a horse, let alone been on a totally green, untouched Mustang. So these are, you know, these guys are probably getting out of their comfort zone a little to actually apply for the job. And then when they actually get it, you know, they've never even saddled a horse. So it's pretty amazing. They have on staff an older cowboy that I think is just a riot, and I don't know that he would ever do an interview on the radio or TV, but his name's Hank, And he's been there, I think he's been there for maybe, I'm going to say less than 10 years. And he's there, he's kind of the backbone, and he gets these guys on the horses, and he kind of, in some ways, I think it's really informal training, and he kind of just lets them get used to it. But, you know, if he'll be walking around while they're out there, and they ride the horses all day long. They probably have 20 to 25 head at one time that are in their, you know, their training facility per se. And they, he'll go around through and watch them all riding in the arenas, and he'll say, oh, you know, back him up. He needs to be backed up. He'll get his head down, you know, and you'll see him kind of just calmly walk up to a guy and, you know, ask him to do something with the horse. So it's never like, you know, individual training at like, you know, one guy at a time in the arena or anything. They're all kind of together. And some of them, you know, like Mike Farley, he's one that's still around, and Ken Parker. And I think they kind of have a seniority mentoring type situation. So each guy will kind of help out the newer guys. And I think in a lot of ways, that's kind of how they learn. And they're learning to saddle and to brush them. And they even learn how to trim their feet. So they're learning kind of some lifelong things that they can take out into the real world.
I read somewhere that the rate of return, you know, for guys that have been arrested is pretty high, but the rate of return on the guys that go back to jail that have gone through this program is extremely low.
Right. I think that is pretty true. I don't have the actual details, but I think it's very true. And sometimes actually it's funny that you brought that up. But there is a couple of guys that are back with the horses right now that have been gone for about 4 or 5 years. And I talked to them and I just, you know, a month or so ago, and they were like, man, I just hate being back, but it's kind of nice to be back with the horses. I got lucky and was able to apply and be back here again, even though I don't want to ever be back at this place.
Right.
So it is kind of interesting, but you know, I think they are getting some really good lessons, if not from Hank, he's such a great cowboy, but from the Mustangs, you know. And like you said, it's just, they will die trying to do what you want them to do. They're great animals.
Now, do you know kind of, obviously, I mean, not many people have the guts and or facility and or training to begin to, within 120 days, be riding a wild horse that is untouchable. Is there a common technique that is used, or a thread, or is it like, I mean, Monty Roberts has his techniques for the gentling the wild horses. What do they use?
That's a trick question. Did you talk to Hank already? I don't know.
Oh, is it, you don't know? Okay. So it's Hank I need to ask about that, huh?
I think so. You know, I don't even think he would tell you, but they ride them every day. They're on them and they're using them every single day. And I think they start at the break of dawn because they do all the chores at the farm. So they have all the horses, they feed all the horses, and then they tack them up and they all ride. And they have to be back to the facility at, I think, 3 o'clock is pretty late. So they're out there for a majority of the day working with the animal. And, you know, as far as the technique, I'll have to leave that to Hank. It might be a secret, but maybe he'll share it with you. I bet if he hears you're interested. He's silent and old cowboy is what I would call him.
It's funny. It's funny you say that, because I actually know the guy you're talking about, because when I went there last year and I adopted freight train from the February auction store.
Which I love, because he's beautiful.
He's got my heart for sure. So when I was getting Thor, you know, you back the trailer up and I go to, you know, the trainer, Tim, obviously they trust their trainer immensely. So he went to load him. And I thought, you know, this is like super low security kind of thing. Like, what if he just hopped in my, I mean, there, you're going to think stuff like that. Like, what if he just hopped in my trailer and like, was like, can you get me out of here? Let's go. Yeah. And I realized, right. I'm like, oh dude, Hank is like, he's eyes on everything. He was not helping, but he was watching and he was kind of in the middle. Everybody's loading up their horses and everybody's, all the inmates are messing with the horses and putting them in trailers. And he just kind of silently stood there watching. And I was like, oh, that guy's in charge. That's the guy in charge of making sure nobody hops in the trailer and says, get me out of here. Let's go. I couldn't help.
That's so funny. It's crazy how, and they all really, everyone is watching him too. They want, I think they have a lot, I know they have a lot of respect for him. So it's, and that's what makes the program so cool and work and productive. And I heard you, actually, I was telling Jennifer, I heard that your radio show from the third, and you were talking about the horses and picking one out. And I thought that was just, that was really fun. But it is true. The horses have been going up in prices for an average, but I think they're worth it. And I know they're just a Mustang, a wild horse, you know, they're not this high quality breeding, but they came from really good breeding back in the 30s and 40s. The ranchers were putting some really nice horses out with the herds, and, you know, they had some great bloodlines that were put into these wild horses. And at one time they came from some solid, solid lineage. So that's, and I think that just is starting to really show in the program with the guys that are riding them, that are taking, you know, taking the time and really wanting to work with the animals, eat with really, you know, limited tack and resources. And you can see these guys have used, well used, you know, reused, hand me down things. And then they have an animal that's just like this, so happy to have a job and do work.
Rita, I got to jump in here. Two things. One is, do they pack up the infirmary and just bring it out by the ring to do x-rays and put casts on the first day that they're introduced to the Mustangs? You don't have to answer that. Next question. Next question is, she's afraid to ask it, okay? But I'm not. So we have you on the show now. She just wants to know if she can slip you a 20 and maybe you can have the auctioneer stop at about $1,000 on the one she wants. Yeah. That's what she really wants to know.
I know, it's been kind of crazy, and I don't be afraid.
Okay, a 50. You're not biting at the 20. Let's go 50. We'll go 50.
I'll go and try. I'll try.
Okay, all right, good.
Well, I think Hank's the auctioneer. I just need to talk to him earlier.
Poor Rita. Well, she's going to get fired now, thanks to me.
You never know.
Okay.
I don't know that I have any seniority, but you never know.
All right. That means she wants 100.
All right.
Jamie,
yeah. We'll talk off the air. We'll talk off the air.
Thanks, now, Glenn.
You're welcome. I'll just keep running it up.
You mentioned the used equipment, the well-worn stuff. What do they need? What does this prison program need? Can we put together a care package and send it to them? You know, I remember that the last time I was there, there was going to be a group donation for blue jeans and boots. Is that stuff still in need? Do you need tack? Do you need what can people donate that they have in their tech shed?
You know, I think with the anything with a big, I think the big saddles are probably a high request, the larger seat for a Western saddle. And I would say any, you know, bridles and bits and blankets. And I don't know that they're in like desperate need by any means. It's not that something that they probably are using on a regular basis. But if you really wanted to share or get rid of or help out, I think, you know, for the bigger, larger seated saddles and, you know, different bits, I don't think they have a lot, but they all share. And I think they're doing good with what they have. But if you're interested, I would suggest sending your, you know, a message to me, or somehow we could share it with the Hank and see if he, what specifically he wanted or could
yeah,
use
it'd be
specific,
great to get a list together of what they need. Like, I know they were driving for jeans and boots. So, you know, I mean, I just know that our listeners are just amazing people and they want to help with this. This is such a great cause. Yeah, Hank's wish list. Awesome. That's what Jennifer just typed. We need Hank's wish list. So my final question, right. Well, I have a couple questions real quick about the horses. So I think I fell in love with a little guy named Squirrel. And he's as cute as can be. But his video isn't long enough. It just stops. What happened? Did he run away? Did he flip over? What happened?
No.
I wanted to know why you cut
it. Something happened with my camera. Something happened. And for some reason, the last clip didn't turn out. So
Squirrel
kicked
it and it went flying. That's what happened. Yeah.
No.
Has this long video and his just cuts off. And I was like, oh my God, he ran away.
Oh my gosh. No. But that horse, that is the one horse that he has. He, like, I heard you guys talking and you're right, read between the lines, because he's nice and he's beautiful, but he has some energy and he is like, Ken has his hands full riding that horse. I can tell you that. And he's not like a dingbat, but he has this personality. He's like, oh my gosh, what is this over here? Oh, let's look over here. You know, so he's kind of.
Oh God, Jamie, you don't need another one of those.
Sounds like my.
You got a barn full of those. You don't need another one of those. Squirrel's off the list.
You know who is really? I know you don't want a facility born horse, but Jericho, he spoke to me.
Oh, he's a lot of our listeners picked Jericho. A lot of them.
Oh, did they?
Yes.
He really has this nice confirmation, and he's quiet. And he did, I think he even did like a flying lead change that I know the trainer had no clue, but I really liked him. And then the very last one is this heavy, his name is Sancho, and he's really heavy boned and he's got a big barrel and a big hip, but he's cool. I like the way he moved too. He has just a nice head and he never got excited, and the guy has him really trained. He's been working with him a lot. So
yeah,
I'm not sure if those were either on your list. But Squirrel, when you get there, you'll have to talk to Ken. I kind of wonder if anybody else is even paying attention to that horse, because he is, you know, just not. He's different color. I know color stands out, but I think Ken will probably give you. He was funny when I went and did the video. He's like, this horse, man, you can ride him all day. He would still be ready to go.
Now, that begs another question. I remember that O'Malley was supposed to be in another auction, but something happened to him and he was pulled. Do you know what that was?
You know, I have that question lingering too, and I haven't heard back. So I'll try to get something for today. I'll ask again and throw it on Facebook if I get an answer. But I don't think, if anything, it was probably because he was lame. I wouldn't think that it was something that he did, because he's a sweetheart. I saw the guy riding him and, excuse me, I'm suffering from a cold. I have a child in daycare. And he seemed like a really nice. Yeah, no kidding. O'Malley just seemed like a cool, almost like a kid's horse personality. Just pretty mellow. And the guy, you know, the trainer was just kind of touring him around, and O'Malley went with the flow. So I'll see if there was something.
Okay, give me the inside skinny on that. Now, one more final question. We've got our show is ending. This is so interesting to talk to you. Do you know what Periscope is?
Yes, I am looking into that for you. And I think it would be super cool. I don't know if it's going to happen. They're pretty serious with the phones on the premises. So I'm doing my magic to convince them how cool this would be. So,
and the thing is, it's not permanent. Like, it goes away. It just disappears.
No, right.
So they can't keep it. It's not going to go online. It's not going to be it's just people that follow can just watch it. And I think you can follow me at Flyover Farm if you haven't yet. And then I'll try to Periscope from the event, because you know what? It's kind of like a don't ask, don't tell thing. Like, you never heard from me.
Yeah, I know, God. I know.
Except let's keep in mind, you are at a prison, so they can just walk you over to a cell. All right. So
they make a big deal out of it for us that are on, you know, coming to work out there and doing things. And I've seen it, like, we'd have to lock them in the trunk of our car. So I know what you mean. It's not, they're pretty loose with the regulations, but we have there's a public affairs person for the prison system. She's super supportive of all the social media stuff. So I might just send you a form to fill out just in case. And they have to have it approved by staff, like the warden and the director and things like that of the correctional.
And
center.
That'll happen for the next auction, Jamie.
Yeah, right? Next year, it'll finally you all be what? Done.
They might not. They did really good so that I could do it. We have kind of, there's been a new flow of staff that are there. And so we all kind of landed on some things recently. But I think they'll work really hard if they want to do it. And we'll see. And otherwise, maybe, like you said, we could do it another time. And I know I'm glad that, Jamie, you can come up here and from Phoenix. It's a long haul, but I hope you get the horsey that you love.
Well, you just never know till you meet them all. So I'm keeping my mind open, but I'm excited. I'm leaving tomorrow afternoon. Going to drive to Vegas. My girlfriend's flying in. We're going to drive to Vegas and then we're going to drive the rest of the way Friday. I'm staying at a casino hotel. Lucas is not going with me. My 2-year-old will be staying home. I'm going with a girlfriend. We're staying at a casino and we have a Facebook page called NNCC, Northern Nevada Correctional Center for people that have adopted horses. And I'm doing a meetup with some of the people on that Facebook page. So I'm excited.
Wow.
And I do know that the one woman wants, she's going to get, she thinks she wants Jericho and Sancho, and she's the one that bid all the way up to 13 grand last time. So I'm kind of screwed there.
Oh, like, geez.
Yeah. So,
and Jamie likes to play blackjack. So when she just said that she's staying at a casino the night before, she may have nothing left to buy.
Mom is getting some Mustang money. Woo!
All right.
Roll the dice. Double your money.
Rita, it's been great. Thank you so much. We've been posting links to their Facebook page and to your videos all for the last 2 weeks. So we really appreciate you joining us. You're a delightful person, and we'd love to have you back.
I would love it. And thanks so much for the support. It's great to get the little spider web and make connections. So anytime we can do this, I would be happy to.
All right. Good luck this weekend. Take care.
All right, Jamie. We'll see you Saturday.
All right. See you. I don't need luck.
With her $100 in hand.
I'm going to double my money at the casino, Glenn. It's going
to be double. See you, Rita.
Bye, Rita.
Bye, guys.
Oh, that was funny. What a great show. What a great show today.
That was fun. I was really interested.
You're driving the prices up of these horses by talking about it incessantly on the show. It's not helping you.
You have to be present to win. So if any of our listeners are planning on going and competing with me, we do have rooms at the Carson City Casino and Hotel. It's a Wyndham, I believe. And we will be having dinner at the English Pub Friday night. So please get a hold of me and we'll all meet up and then I'll kick you in the kneecaps and you won't be able to go bid again.
Thank you, everybody. We've run out of time. What a great show. Thanks to all our guests. Thank you, Jennifer, for putting all of this together today. Friday, we are going to have Tammy Sarantz back from the Western Radio Show. She's going to be here co-hosting. We're also going to be joined by Mary Kitzmiller. We're going to have a little bit of a Road to the Horse first hour. Mary, I don't know if you noticed on her Facebook page, but picked up her OTTB yesterday. She was on the phone. It was so cute, Jamie. She was on the phone with Jennifer all morning going out to look at her first OTTB because she got accepted for the OTTB makeover.
That's so cool.
So she was on the phone with Jennifer. What should I look for? What do I do? Because she's done Mustangs, she's done quarter horses, but never a thoroughbred. So she, of course, fell in love with the first one and brought it home. She just reminds me of you. So
that's my kind of girl.
She brought it home. She'll tell us about that. We got a lot of fun stuff for you on Friday's show as well coming up. And I know everybody loves to hear Tammy back too. And we will be doing really bad ads. So get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. As you heard, we have a couple of great prizes that we're giving away this month. So get your ads in. That's it for today. Thank you so much. Good luck this weekend, girl. We'll be watching.
Hey, thank you. Just so you know, Chad was supposed to be out of town doing some training stuff and it got canceled. So he's like, guess what? I can go with you to Carson City. And I was like, or
you could stay home and babysit.
Stay home and watch a kid. My girlfriend and I are going. So that's what's happening.
And Chad's going. That means I have to take care of the horses and shovel poop. And
Yep. There you go. It's what I do every day.
All right. See ya. Good luck.
All right. Bye, everybody. Have a great one. Spay, neuter, geld.
I need music, don't I? Well, there we go.
Dun.
Just one, Jamie. They're not cookies.
Sure.